up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. K-A-Y-T. Got the gospel transmitting all day.
Join us as we open our Bibles, hearts, and minds to be blessed by the Word of God as Dr. Joshua Joy Dara, Senior Pastor of Zion Hill Church Family, gives us insight into the gospel in plain English.
Thank you. Welcome to the Zion Hill Church Family Broadcast, where faith finds its home and every soul is welcomed with open arms. Nestled in the vibrant community of Pineville, Louisiana, under the compassionate leadership of Pastor Joshua Joydera, visit our online sanctuary at zionhill.com. That's Z-I-O-N-H-I-L-L.com. Now, let's join the broadcast already in progress.
Will you please stand with me as we read the Word of God? Malachi chapter 4, verse number 6. Just one verse for the sake of time. Again, we are so grateful to all of you being here this morning. Despite the weather, your faithfulness is shown. We are grateful. Malachi chapter 4, verse 6. The Word of God says, "And he," talking about God, "shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and he will turn the hearts of the children to their fathers." That don't happen, God said, "I will come and smite the old earth with a curse." While you're standing, let's pray. Father God, we are grateful for the Word of God. The grass withereth and flowers fade, but your word will stand forever. Holy Spirit, we value your presence in the house. I'm mindful of the fact that this is your church. These are your people. So now I step back that you may step up. This is your show. Glorify yourself in this house. Speak to our heart one more time. Heal everyone that is present here. Let your glory fill this place. And we'll be careful to give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. It is in Jesus' name we pray. And the church say, amen. Amen. You may be seated. For those of you that are visiting us for the first time, I've been talking about the family. And since this is our Family and Friends Day, I thought I should say a little bit more about the family. Our subject for discussion is titled "The Blessed Family." Last Sunday we talked about the broken family. And now we need to learn how to move from broken to blessed. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm mindful of the fact that in this place today, we have different kinds of family. We have different situations. There are nuclear family here. There are single mom family and single dad family. There are people who are possibly co-parenting in this house. We have blended family and we have mixed couple. We have grandparents. We have extended family. All kinds of different families here. I'm aware of that. I also know that if I begin to use words like daddy or father or mother, or I say something like brother or sister or cousin or nephew or aunties and uncles, this is supposed to be something neutral word. However, in the world that we live now, it depends on different people's experience. So as I was preparing for this message, I'm trying to find what is it, what are something common to all of us in the midst of all these differences that will give me a place that I can relate to everybody. And ladies and gentlemen, I found two areas that we all can relate to that is common to all of us. Number one is that none of us pick our families, so we all can identify with them. Whether your family is blended, whether your family is single parent, whether your family is nuclear, now you don't choose that. But we all where we are. Another thing that we have in common is that all of us came from a broken family, because we are all products of Adam and Eve. And according to the scripture, they messed up, they were a broken family, and we all came from them. One thing I do notice beside those two commonalities is that one of the privileges of being an American citizen is that we have high tech, and we have more than ever before the means, the avenue to be more connected with our families. I mean, we can reach anyone, anywhere. We have airport, we have all kinds of ways that we can connect with people, cell phone, and name it. And yet, I notice in this great country, even with all the goods that we have, we are still very much lonely. In fact, statistics shows that America is one of the loneliest countries in the world. We got sport going on. We got movies. We got it all. And yet we are lonely, we are broken, and we are divided. We need to learn how to become more blessed. Ladies and gentlemen, if you really be honest with our situation right now, it's like we are divided as a whole nation. The blacks versus the whites, Democrats against the Republicans, even Christians against non-Christians. It's like us against them. Even though we have the tools to be more connected, but something is missing. Am I right about it? Nehemiah chapter 4 verse 10 describe what I'm talking about. You remember the story of Nehemiah. He was charged to build the wall. And Nehemiah remarked that he could not do his job because there is rubbish everywhere. And if you look closely into our world, you see rubbish on television. Am I right about it? Rubbish on social media. In fact, they find a way to even get to your cell phone. Rubbish everywhere. In the book of Psalms, chapter 11, verse 3, say, if the foundation is destroyed. Ladies and gentlemen, what can the righteous do? So we need to dig our way out of this present situation. And the truth be told, unless we fix our family, everything else will not work. I'm so glad I see many of our court officers here. I even see our former chief of police here. If you talk to any of them, they will tell you the population, the jail is getting younger and younger. You probably seen the picture on your television. And it goes back to the family. Because the family is dysfunction, no boundaries, no guardrail. People are not taking time to instruct their children. So we're not surprised when you find young people shooting each other. So the question is, how do we become a blessed family? Because our whole nation will be destroyed if we don't attend to this problem. Ladies and gentlemen, because you cannot build any nation without building the family. Am I right about it? So how do we move from brokenness to bliss? That's my assignment this morning. My brothers, my sister, I believe with all my heart that we are living in deception. Because some of us, instead of addressing this problem, we will ignore it. Sometimes we try to create an alternative. I've seen people who say their family is their pet. I've seen people that will say a dog is the best friend of man. And don't get me wrong, animal lovers, dogs are good pets. Amen. There are other animals that are good. But that's not your family. God never intended for your pet to be your family. And some of you will say, well, my family are those on the social media. I've even read some of your comments. Hello, my Facebook family. You lying to yourself. They don't know you. You don't know them. That's the honest truth. We need men and women of God to tell the truth. So we have to stop deceiving ourselves. Another problem that I see, ladies and gentlemen, is that when it comes to forming a family, we don't prepare ourselves for it. And because we don't prepare in the formation of our families, we end up messing things up. In fact, I notice we spend more time preparing to get a driver's license than we do to prepare for a family. If you notice, if you want a driver's license in Louisiana, you have to be of certain age. We have an age requirement. Now, if you notice, you have to take some classes. Before we give you a driver's license, we have to make sure we test you. You got to read all those instructions about driving. And ladies and gentlemen, but if you think of getting married or establish a family, we don't require nothing. Just show up, pay some money, and sign the paper. So that itself shows our priorities messed up. Strategically, we are more interested in our highway than in our families. And that's why many of your automobiles lasted longer than your marriage. I'm trying to help somebody. You have to read to drive. You have to test to drive. You have to qualify to drive. But we don't require any of that. The same thing if you're in any profession or any career. I happen to be in law practice, and I can tell you, just to be able to practice law, I have to go to elementary school, high school, That's 12 years. They won't let me practice until I go through that. Then when I finish high school, I have to go to college. That's another 4 years. Then they still won't let me practice. Then after I finish that, they send me to law school for 3 years. Then after that, I have to go to postdoctoral degree, University of Arkansas, and spend another 4 years. That's 23 years before I can enter any courthouse. We put more emphasis on careers than we do on our family. You don't even need to know how to read. If you can't even write, then make sure your tongue, just mark the paper, pay your fee and get out of here. Our priority is mixed up. But I bring some good news.
Come on, sir. Help us.
The good news is that God is very, very interested in your family and my family. That's something to shout about. How did I know that God is interested in our families? Remember the first wedding in the Garden of Eden. Notice who performed it. God himself. He didn't send a chaplain. He didn't send an angel. He himself showed up to perform the wedding. And God was the one who instituted this thing called family. So he is very, very interested in the success of your family. Before any cities were built, before any government was established, before any nation was built, God, first of all, built a family. Even before any churches. As important as churches are, the family was formed before any churches show up. You know what I'm trying to tell you? Your family is important. Your home is very, very important. Why? Because that's where you develop character. That's where you develop virtues. That's where you form habits, your goals, your vision is cooked. Yes, sir. I'm blessed with some children. While they were little bambinos, I knew exactly what each of them would be. And I kept calling them, this is who you are. This is who you are. And they all grow up to become exactly what mama and daddy called them. Your family is very critical. Ladies and gentlemen, the book of Ezekiel, chapter 16, verse 44, says something amazing. He said, as the mother is, so is the daughter. In other words, you and me who are in this position called parents, we have a duty. We have the responsibility to be examples, role model to our family. So ask yourself the question, when was the last time your children see you praying? Just do a self-evaluation. When was the last time your children saw you worship God? No wonder why we have all these challenges in the society. So now we blame the police, then we blame the court, then we blame the government. But charity begins where? At home. Notice the first miracle of Jesus Christ was about the family. So God is showing you and me in so many ways that family is a priority to God. I never will forget when Paul and Silas was locked up in Philippian jail. And you remember at midnight they prayed, and there was an earthquake, and the doors were swung open, and everybody was set loose. Now, they had a rule under the Roman law that if you're the jailer and you lose all these prisoners, you're going to die. So when the jailer saw what was happening, he was ready to commit suicide. But notice Paul said, hey, don't hurt yourself. We are all here. Shackles are broken. Chains are loose. But we are still here. Now the jailer was shocked. How can you be set free and you're still here? That's why that jailer asked the question, what must I do to be saved? The one thing I love about that account is that Paul said to him, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. But it didn't stop there. He said, you and your family. You see how important it is. And amazingly, that day, the jailer and his whole family got saved. Somebody shout amen. Amen. You know what I'm trying to suggest to you? Your family is crucial. Your family is very important. And I'm suggesting to you, God wants to save you and your family. Many of you go to church, you leave your family at home. Many of you, you're running a business, you leave your family. And the children are running around. They never see you work. They never see you pray. They never see you worship. They cannot even talk about the integrity of their own parents. If your family is going to be blessed, you need to make sure you make your family a priority. Remember when Noah was charged to build the ark? God found Noah faithful, but God said, build the ark for you and your family. By the way, in case you don't know, the family was not found faithful. It was Noah. There's a lesson there because it means that your own faithfulness can cause your family to be blessed. Amen. There are some things I will not do today, not because I don't think about doing it, not because I'm so holy I don't want to do it, but when I think of my children, amen, make sure that you remember that God can bless your whole family just because of you. There are many doors that are open to members of my family that they have nothing to do with. It has everything to do with how I conduct myself in the community. Make your family a priority. In fact, it ought to be priority number two, next to God, your family. That's why Jesus tells the parable of a builder. And he encouraged all of us, make sure you don't build your house on sands. Build your house on a rock. Am I still in the book? Amen. So I have to ask you this question today. Is your house built on the rock? Or is your home full of chaos? Is your family dysfunctional? Is your family secured? Or is your family full of tension? Only you can answer that question. I believe in any home where we have husband and wife, if the husband is not leading and the wife is not helping, that home will not make it. Did you hear what I said? Notice I didn't say if the wife is not keeping record of wrong. Many of you, you have turned an investigator of your own family. I want to see who is he calling. Is that your assignment? God called you to be a helpmate. In other words, your husband need help. That Negro, strike that from the record. That man needs help. So you're not helping him if you are keeping record of all his wrong. We're in 1902, really? Focus on your assignment. And brothers, if you are husband and you don't lead your family, you are the center of our trouble as a society. I'm trying to help somebody. Ladies and gentlemen, if I were you today, I would go home and begin to rebuild your family. From the pulpit to the pews, we all need to not leave that responsibility to the police. Amen. Don't leave that responsibility to the school board. Amen. You are the one who is charged to raise your family. Amen. And work with your spouse as a team. You ought to be complementing each other and not competing with each other. Are you all still here this morning? Notice what the text for today says. It's a prophecy, by the way. If you're a Bible scholar, you will also notice that verse I read to you is the last verse in the Old Testament. The last verse. In fact, the Bible says after that last verse, for 400 years, God did not say anything. So that's how serious that one verse I read to you.
Wow.
It's also a promise by Almighty God that all of us here ought to be taken advantage of. What did God promise? God said he himself would turn the hearts of parents to their kids. And he would turn the hearts of your children, my children, to their parents. Question. And the lawyer in me is tempted to say, who turned first?
All right now. Come on, sir. Right.
Notice the Bible say the hearts of the parents will be turned towards their children. In order for us to become a blessed family, all of us parents here, myself included, all of us, we must make the first turn. We are busy waiting on the children. We're telling the kids, when are you going to get your life together? But the Bible said, the Bible. You see, the hearts of the parents first must be turned towards the children. If you and I would do that today, Central Louisiana will blossom. We are in the perfect location for the blessing of God. We are the center of the state. Everybody ought to pass through us to get to anywhere. This place ought to be a center of attraction. I came here almost 30 years ago. I saw loud and clear the potential of this community. Yes, but why is it that we're not even in the discussion? Let's start with our family. The problem, ladies and gentlemen, those of us who are leaders in our homes and parents, we are turning to the wrong things.
Come on, sir, teach.
That is why I ask the question, when was the last time your children saw you praying to God? When was the last time you sit down together as a family before you eat dinner and say, let's all hold hands. How was your day? How is what's going on in your life? Can we all pray together and thank God? Everybody is running and running and running. Where are you going? This is why the Bible says, if the foundation is messed up, game over. So I challenge all of us, as I'm challenging my own self, let's do better with our family. Can I get an amen for that? Amen. We must teach our children. We must discipline our children. And our effort must be intentional. That's why God said, I know Abraham. He will command his children. It doesn't make sense if you work it all day, all night, and then your children are living a horrible life. That's a time bomb waiting to explode. You want to look at those children in the face and say, honey, you cannot stay on the phone all night. Before you play video game, you're going to do your homework. Don't come home telling me the teachers are bad. That teacher got his own degree. You don't have one. You are unemployed. You are leaving on me. And I won't let you stay here forever. I'll kick your behind, get you. Go make something happen for your own self. You got to guide them. You got to lead them. You got to make sure that your home is not infected with drugs. Because you are paying the bill, you have every right to go to every room and search every closet. I never will forget my kids growing up in my home, and I just don't like their music. Ain't nothing wrong with it. I just don't like it. And I made up my mind, I said, no, you're not going to be listening to that mess in my house. Why, Dad? Because I'm paying the bill. When you grow up and you get your own house and you pay the water bill and you pay the light bill, and I said, by the way, that television is mine too, I'll plug it. Just to let everybody know. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 3 to 5. The Bible said, this is how we're going to do it. I want to leave you with this word. The Bible is very clear on how to have a blessed family. In Proverbs chapter 24, verse 3 to 5, it says, by wisdom, a house is built. Did you get that? It said, through understanding, your home will be established. And through knowledge, your home will be filled with all kinds of goods. Notice three things God said you need to have a blessed family. Number one, knowledge. Number two, understanding. Number three, wisdom. By the way, notice what's not on the list that America holds so dear. Notice that sex is not on the list. Notice that even love is not on the list. What's love got to do? You tripping. The Bible is very clear what you need to do to have a blessed home. Ladies and gentlemen, love is not the glue. Sex is not the glue. Don't let America deceive you. Let all men be liars. Let God be true. You need knowledge. You need understanding. You need wisdom. What is knowledge? Information. Information. I cannot do what I'm doing here in your community, in our community, unless I devote myself to personal development. Every week I'm in school. I'm watching some webinar, learning how do I be a good pastor? What does it take to succeed in ministry? You got to have knowledge. No doctor, I see some of my colleagues here, none of them can keep their license unless they're constantly training every year. When was the last time you tried to learn what it takes to be a father? What does it take to be a mother? There's so much information. America is rich with information. We need knowledge. We need understanding. Understanding is when you comprehend the information you're given. I happen to be a college professor. I can tell you, just because you're in class doesn't mean you understand what I'm telling you. You have to invest in comprehending what God is trying to tell you. And then you need wisdom. Wisdom is when you apply the information, the knowledge you have. Ladies and gentlemen, you know what I'm trying to tell you? If you're going to build a blessed family, if you're going to build a successful family, don't count on love. Don't waste your time on sex. Invest your time on knowledge. Invest your time on understanding. Invest your time on wisdom. The book of Proverbs chapter 4 verse 7 put it this way. It said wisdom is the principal thing. It said get wisdom. Then he said in all of that getting, get understanding. I never will forget, I was counseling some couple not too long ago, and they're there in my office with their divorce paper, and they're crying, and I say, wait a minute, okay, maybe I'm missing something here. I say, my sister, do you love him? Yes. I said, then why are we trying to file for divorce? She said, he's a beast. I said, okay, I got it. I said, my brother, do you love her? Oh, yes. Then why are you trying to fight for divorce? She crazy. Now I find myself in the midst of a couple, both who said they love each other, and yet they're rushing to the courthouse to get divorced. You know what is missing? Knowledge. What is missing? Understanding. What is missing? Wisdom. Let me leave you with this thought. On a positive note, I was reading about Jesus Christ. Because after that verse I read to your hearing, there was 400 years of silence. One way we can develop our family is to begin to remove silence. Let's communicate. Let's have a conversation. There's a lot of hush-hush. You don't want to talk. There's addiction in the family. Hush, nobody wants to talk about it. There is abuse in the family. Hush, nobody wants to talk about it. We need to start honest conversation. 400 years of silence was devastating to the whole earth. And as a theologian, something blows my mind. When God decided to speak again to humanity, that's New Testament, you all. In Matthew chapter 1, beginning from verse 1, guess the first topic he started to talk about, the family. He started with the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 1, verse 1 all the way to verse 16. It's just about family. I know many of you never read it. I know you skip that because it's unimportant to you. But you know something else. Not only did God invest the time to make it priority number one, the first topic to discuss, after 400 years of silence, I took the time to read who beget who is father of who, all the way until Jesus Christ. And you know something that I discovered? In that list, there were five women listed on the list. That blows my mind. Because if you know anything about the Jewish people, their culture is patriarchy. Yes, sir. That's it. To be honest with you, women are not celebrated in their culture. So now as a theologian, I want to know, how did God get to mention these five women? I can stop there and preach to you because that's God's way of saying in the kingdom of God, we are all equal. Yes. So all this spousal abuse needs to stop. If you understand the word of God, there's no Greek, there's no Hebrew, no white or black, no male or female. All of us are God's children. If you want your family to be blessed, oh, I wish I can testify. This ministry was just a little bitty church with about 35 regular people. 35. How does 35 people become more than 3,000? There's a secret in the word of God. Listen to me. As I receive it freely, I'm giving it to you. I have to be delivered from this patriarchy, chauvinistic mentality. It's hindering your blessing. And God has to speak to me. In the book of 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 7, he said, because the church was not growing. Then he said, treat your wife as children, as daughter of Almighty God, so that your prayers will not be hindered. I could not grow the church. I couldn't do anything until I get the revelation. My wife and I, we are equal in the kingdom of God. And when I begin to treat her with respect, all of a sudden the church took off. Are you listening to me? God wants to bless your family. God wants to bless my family. But we got to do it God's way. By the way, those of you who are physically, when you see my wife stand up like that, that's her way of saying, you need to shut up. So I got to end this sermon. But you know the amazing thing, though, in conclusion, if you check out the background of every one of those women, you will be shocked. The names are Tamar, Rahab, Ruth, Bathsheba, and Mary, the mother of Jesus. I don't have time now. But when you get home, read about Tamar, Genesis chapter 38. This was a woman who pretended to be the lady of the evening. And that's in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Then you go to Rahab. Rahab didn't even pretend. She's on record as a whore. Can you handle the truth? That's the woman where the spies hide in the book of Joshua chapter 2. Then you talk about Ruth. In case you don't know, Ruth was not even a Jewish woman. She's a Moabite, an outsider, like your pastor. And yet, she is in the genealogy of Almighty God. Here you are, you say, I won't make it. Oh, I'm nobody. But you ought to live here today knowing that God can use you. God can bless your family. God can make something beautiful out of you. And look at Mary. You talk about teen pregnancy. Many of you, you're a product of some mess. Even Mary was about to be stoned in that society. It was just a little girl. Teen pregnancy. Then we have Bathsheba. You remember Bathsheba? In fact, the Bible specifically said concerning her, the wife of Uriah. To let you know, even your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ came from a broken home. So I speak to everyone, whatever brokenness is in your family, God can turn things around. The same Jesus became the Savior of the world. God highly exalted him and gave him a name that is above every name. And today, at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow. So stop all the excuses. It don't matter where you come from. It don't matter the situation you're finding right now. That curse can be broken today in the name of Jesus Christ. God wants to do a new thing through you. God wants to bless your home. He wants to bless your children. He wants to bless your children's children. The righteous are never forsaken. Their seed will never beg for bread. I got to stop. Everybody stand to your feet.
Thank you for listening to the broadcast of the Zion Hill Church family. To hear this sermon in its entirety or hear other sermons, visit our online sanctuary at zionhill.com. That's zionhill.com, where faith finds its home and every soul is welcomed with open arms. Under the leadership of Pastor Joshua Joydera on the Hill in Pineville, Louisiana. If you're ever in the area, come and see what's going on at Zion Hill Church family.
We pray that our broadcast was a blessing to you. If you would like to have a copy of today's message on CD, please contact us at www.joydara.org or at our postal service at P.O. Box 6006, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71307. Or you can call us at 1-888-